Be thou my vision. Keep these lyrics in mind as we continue this morning. I'd like to dismiss the kids to children's church. And Tessa, can you hand out the Peterson jar and Daphne jar? Every week you're like, I want to do it. There you go. For those who don't know what this is, Peterson and Daphne are a couple of kids that we sponsor in Haiti, taking care of some of their basic needs. Kids are leaving for children's church. Hey, dads, do you ever worry when they go downstairs? Everyone's like, no. Are you kidding? Can we dismiss them earlier? Is there anything, let's just go guys in general, that you worry about? And let's go serious. And we can answer, okay? Because it's Father's Day, so we can do what we want this morning. What's that? Your worry is at the Paradiso with the Gorge. Oh, your dad. Your son. You're worried for him. Okay. So you worry for some of the safety for your son and what he's doing. Okay. What else, guys, do we worry about? Boys. We worry about boys. Thank you. This coming from the father of daughters. We worry about boys. There's a whole lot of them in Spokane. What else? I know there's more than two worries in here. Okay, I heard that. Keeping the bills paid. Okay, good. Worry about politics, okay? Good. What else? Worry you'll miss big events, like life events, when you're at work, okay? Yeah. Tessa, thank you so much. What else? What else do we worry about? Okay, thank you so much for sharing that for art. I appreciate that. Yes, what else? Medical complications. Medical complications, sure. What else? Is there more? Yes.
I worry about my kid's salvation.
Okay, worry about your kid's salvation. Good. Good. Anything else? Working in another 25 years in a public school system. Debbie? Jim? You can do it, she says. Anything else, guys? Women, I bet you didn't know we had that much going on in here. Right? I bet you didn't know we worried that much. Well, see, I worry also. And apparently I've been doing it for a long time because my life verse since I was about yay big has been Matthew 6:34. James International Version says something that Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So guys, are we supposed to worry as much as we do? Jesus has a few things to say about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on today, Father's Day, we thank you for being a good Father, for loving us unconditionally. Even in the times we disobey, the times we stray, the times we ignore you, you still unconditionally love us, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that no matter where we are in our relationship with you, you pursue us. And not just you know, for us to believe the right things, but for us to have an intimate relationship with you. God, today, as there are men in here who are missing their dads, who are experiencing Father's Day for the first time without their dads, I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that you would encourage them with the memories of their dads. I pray also, Lord, for those whose dads are still here. May we celebrate them well. Ultimately, Lord, this morning we celebrate you, your work, and what you have to teach us. We look forward to what that is, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so turn with me to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. Your Bibles, your phones, your tablets, whatever you're using. If you didn't see it in the midweek email or in the video a little earlier, Abby and I are going on vacation. Woohoo! If I could be candid, I feel a little bit bad because I realize I missed a lot of work with the whole shoulder thing, but there's countless people that have told me that's not your fault. Take the vacation that you planned. Okay, so if I preach short today, it's because I got to catch a plane. What's that? Well, I'm getting there. If we don't talk to you afterwards, it's because I got to catch a plane. All right, so Abby and I are getting on a plane, but the boys aren't. Now I'm worried. Okay? Now, both sons are responsible. Both sons are mature. The people staying with them are responsible and mature. We've got meals until November frozen in the freezer. We've got rides and backups to the backups of those rides. And I've had countless people tell me they're going to be fine. They're good kids. And yes, I know that, but I still worry. Okay? You can ask the boys, probably the last 6 weeks, every single day I've put a hand on their shoulder or their head and said, "You're going to be okay when we're gone?" Yes, Dad, we will. We will. But I tell you what, I still worry about it. The question comes, though, is this necessary? Have I pushed it too far? You know, Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon, and he talks about a whole bunch of things. And in Matthew 6, he's talking about money and possessions. You're probably familiar with this passage. He talks about storing up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. And he talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he says, nobody can serve two masters. So that's the context. Now, right after that, he goes into this conversation about worry. You can follow along in your Bible, starting in chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Verse 28, "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" Verse 31, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Verse 34, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So is worrying bad? Well, the key I found in this passage is the understanding of what Jesus means when he uses the word worry. See, because in context, the way he uses it, it's not just, you know, a little bit of concern. It's not just, am I going to make it to work on time so I don't get, you know, scolded by the boss. It's not just, will I have enough gas in the car to make it home after church? It's not just what's for dinner. It's a different type of worry. See, Jesus is talking about a worry that is anxiousness, a concern that just eats at you. He's talking about anxiety that becomes distracting, all-consuming, overpowering. It's a great word in the Greek that we have for worry in this passage. It's merimnao. Will you say that with me? Merimnao. Okay, one of you tried. Merimnao. Okay? It means to be divided into parts, to go to pieces. It means to be pulled apart. Okay, so get this picture. Maybe you've experienced worry like this. There's somebody who feels like pulling on your head one way, right? And then there's somebody else pulling on your heart the other way. And here's how this usually works for James, okay? A glimpse into my life. If my kids are slightly late coming home from school, my head says, "Well, maybe they just had to stay after and talk to the coach for a little bit." Okay? Or maybe they were checking with a teacher to get their assignment right. Yeah. My heart says they were texting as they drove home. They drove off the Watermere Bridge. They landed in the Spokane River. They're halfway to the Pacific Ocean. I can't believe it. Right? You see what I'm saying? Torn in two. Don't text while you drive, Sam, please. Okay? Torn in two. This is the type of anxiousness that Jesus is talking about. Gone to pieces, pulled apart. Not just the good stuff, like, you know, will my kids be safe while I'm gone? Or will the DVR record our favorite show tonight? Not that those are on equal playing fields. As I have spent time in this passage this last week, something caught my attention. And it's this idea. This type of worry, that Jesus is talking about, it shifts our gaze. Okay? Worry like this shifts our gaze. Now, what got me thinking about that was the words that Jesus uses in this passage. Because twice he says, look! Look! In verse 26, he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable than they are? Look, he says. Now, we know he's not just talking about, don't worry about what's for dinner. This is God saying, Jesus saying, your basic needs will be provided for. How many of you are familiar with a guy named George Mueller? Okay, a few of you. George Mueller was a man of faith in the 1800s, a man of prayer, but he wasn't always that. He actually was very much opposed to Christianity, opposed to God, until somebody invited him to a Bible study. And he said, yeah, I'm going to go, because he was going to make fun of the Christians. All right, but God got a hold of his life there, like really got a hold of his heart. And at that point, he was going to school, his dad was paying for it, to be like a rich lawyer or doctor, something very high paying. But God called him into ministry. So he went, he told his dad, this is what God's done. I'm gonna switch my major to study theology. And his dad said, I'm not paying for it anymore. Now, any of you who have gone to college, you understand student debt was different in the 1800s, but George could have started to worry, right? But he didn't. He didn't worry. What did he do? He prayed. And the story goes that an hour after he prayed, a professor from the school knocked on his door and said, hey, there's a tutoring job. Are you interested? Paid for his schooling. Now, there's numerous stories about George Mueller and praying and answers to prayer. Probably the most famous is he has his heart broken for orphans. And he created this orphanage, and at one point he had over 300 kids there. And one morning he woke up, the housekeeper came to him and said, George, we don't have any food. He says, that's all right, have the kids sit down. So he had them sit down, and everybody bowed their head and he prayed. And he thanked God for God's provision. No sooner had he said amen when there was a knock on the door. It was a baker who hadn't been able to sleep the night before, baked three extra dozen whatever, and said, do you need this bread? Yes. Baker walks out, another knock on the door. This is like, I think this is verified. It was a milkman. Cart had broken down right outside the orphanage. Said, I can't get the milk into town. Can you guys use it? All George had done was asked God. He could have worried. He could have said, well, can we share the sheep and sell the wool to make sure we have, you know, to make sure we have enough money to buy the food for breakfast. He could have thought about taking out a second mortgage on the orphanage. He didn't do any of those. He didn't worry. He just prayed. Now, we may be sitting here today 200 plus years later thinking, yeah, that's good, stories of old. That's when that happens. Those were the good old days of faith. 2 years ago, I was at a pastor's and spouse retreat. Some of you may remember this story because I told it then. And our pastor from Bonner's Ferry, Pastor Allen, he was at the retreat and he was telling us how in Bonner's Ferry, around Thanksgiving, all the pastors get together, the churches get together, and they serve a big community meal. Well, the community had always donated towards that meal. There'd always been enough food. But this year, they hadn't. And nobody was giving any extra money to pay for it. So the pastors in the town were like, we've got to cancel the Thanksgiving dinner this year. Pastor Allen said, no, God wants us to do this. Watch. We're in the middle of a time with all the pastors at this retreat, and Pastor Allen gets a phone call. He comes back in a little later. Grin on his face and said, you know what happened? A refrigerated semi-truck carrying potato salad broke down, called the church, and said, we can't make it to Spokane. Can you use this? He says, yeah, now my only worry is figuring out where to store it all. They fed the town. This still happens today when people choose not to worry. Jesus says, look, don't let worry shift your gaze. Verse 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. Some of your translations will say, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Now again, not to take this out of context, Jesus is still talking about our basic needs, about our provision. And we need to remember that in his day, people didn't have wardrobes. They had a robe and maybe a tunic, okay, for it was cold. And he said, you know, your basic needs are going to take care of, to be taken care of. Now, 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus was talking about this, and it still applies to us today. In our culture, in our country, we have more than one robe, right? I mean, my guess is that this morning, some of you went into the closet, I'm not pointing any fingers because I did, and looked at which of the 37 shirts I should wear today. Well, of course, it's the next one on the rotation, right? We spend so much time at times worrying about what we're going to wear, how we're going to look. You look at, you know, celebrities when they're walking the red carpet. They don't get interviewed about how are you treating your neighbor. They get asked, what are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Right? So often today we spend more time worrying about what we look like and less time worrying about what the condition of our heart looks like. Because our gaze has been shifted. Now, Jesus nails it in verse 27. He says, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Okay, this is a yes or no question. I'm going to ask you, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? No. No, it can't. Medicine has proven that. I mean, in 2012, there was a survey or a research project done by WebMD. It showed that people who have stress, who worry, who lose sleep at night, who have some anxiousness, are 20% more likely to die within 10 years than those who don't. Similar study in 2019 by a guy who worked for Longevity Magazine said stress, anxiety, worry can actually shorten your life. So where is your gaze? Worry shifts your gaze. It's a simple message this morning. So the question comes, what happens when we realize that our worry has gone from healthy to cross that line to where we're being, you know, torn apart by it, where it's eating away at us, where we're knocking off years on the end of our life? What happens? What are we supposed to do when we cross that line? Jesus, he tells us the answer. Verse 31. So don't worry. Verse 34, so don't worry. It's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, I know this. You know this. I confess at the beginning. I've been worrying for weeks and months about my kids, right? And I've confessed that ever since I was little, worry has been a nagging thing in my life. Now, thankfully, I think Jesus knew that it wouldn't be as easy as just stopping. So he gave us a very practical thing to do. And I'm going to give you three practical things you can do when you realize you've crossed that line. The first thing is from Jesus. It's found in our text. Verse 33. Jesus says, when you realize you've crossed the line of worry, the first thing you need to do is seek. Seek. Seek the kingdom. Verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek. Now that word means to inquire. It means to investigate. It means to search. When you are searching for an answer, what are you doing? You're looking for it, right? When you've lost something, you're searching for it. You're investigating it. You're seeking it. What are you doing? You're looking for it. Jesus is essentially saying, don't shift your gaze from where it's supposed to be. Again, tying in all the songs we sang this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He says, don't shift your gaze. Look for the kingdom of God. Search after it. Seek after it with all of you. This will lead to trust, and God will provide. He says that, the end of verse 33. And he will give you everything you need. It's a simple message. You realize you've crossed that line from healthy worry to torn apart worry? Start with seeking. Now, the second thing we can do is what George Mueller did. Pray. And this actually is what the Apostle Paul suggested. Best missionary in all time. He wrote a church to the letter of Philippi. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry, Paul says. Pray. Now, when you're praying, even if your eyes are bowed down, where are the eyes of your heart? Up. Your gaze is still on Christ. Okay? So, first thing we do starts with an S and rhymes with eek. Good. Okay, good. You should be writing it down in your bulletin. Second thing, we pray. Okay? Third thing, this comes from somebody who hung out with Jesus a lot, his friend Peter. And so Peter would have known what Jesus would have been experiencing and probably would have seen Jesus maybe worry a little bit. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5, 7. He says, cast all your cares and concerns on God, for he cares about what happens to you. Cast all your cares, your worries on God. So the third thing we need to do is cast. Now there's about 15 or 20 dads that aren't here today that are casting, right? This is something different. This is like giving your cares and concerns to God. Again, easier said than done. So what does that look like? It could be as simple as this. Lord, I am really, really worried, and I have been, about leaving my kids here while we hop on a plane and go a long distance away. So I ask you again, as I've done countless times, to take that worry from me. It could be as simple as that. When you're casting that care over, what are you doing? You're making sure your gaze is in the right place. Okay? So when we realize, and again, there's healthy worry and there's unhealthy worry. When we realize you've crossed the line from healthy worry to unhealthy worry, three things we're supposed to do. First, seek. Second, pray. Third, cast or give. And repeat. Thank you. Who said that? Well done, Pastor Merle. Well done. That's my sermon. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. I know for me, I just prayed it, but I need to spend a little time seeking God's kingdom, praying, and giving over the things that are worrying me today to God. Question could be for you, what are you worried about? What's starting to tear you apart? This goes for both men and women. I'm going to pray. Okay, and then Tim's going to come up, worship team's going to come up. They're gonna just play quietly for a minute or two while we have a chance to reflect, to pray, to think, and to write something down. I'd encourage you, take a scribble note, take the connection card, tear it off, and write down that one thing that's worrying you. And as the offering comes by, put it in there. You don't have to put your name on it, but that could be a tangible way of saying, God, I am giving you this worry and concern. Put your tithes and offerings in the plate also, as they go by, but also put your worries and concerns in there. Okay? Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and that you want to teach us and guide us and instruct us. I thank you for the simplicity of today's message. I thank you that I needed to hear it, and I know I needed to hear it. Lord, perhaps somebody else in here needed it also. God, I pray that you would take the worry and concern that is beginning to tear us apart, whatever that may be, the things that we said at the beginning, the things that we've thought of throughout the sermon, the things that maybe even were on our heart while we were worshiping. Would you take those from us? Allow us to seek your face first, to trust your provision, your guidance, all of it. To pray with a thankful heart. Lord, and to give these over to you. Help us to do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.